Join the Wall Street Journal May 8th through the 10th in New York City for our first ever Future of Everything Festival. This three-day event will bring together innovators and experts with ambitious leaders, entrepreneurs, and students who are all shaping the future. The festival will include 12 themed sessions covering the future of money, cities, medicine, artificial intelligence, food, transportation, and more. Attendees will hear from over 80 renowned speakers and visionaries, including PayPal CEO Dan Shulman and international chess grandmaster Garry Kasparov, with access to innovative product demos, exhibits, and unique experiences throughout New York City. To learn more and buy tickets, visit us at foefestival.wsj.com.
This is Your Money Matters from the Wall Street Journal.
Welcome to Your Money Matters. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. An analysis by the Wall Street Journal finds U.S. colleges are increasingly separating into winners and losers, marking a big shift in higher education. Joining me now from Chicago is Wall Street Journal reporter Doug Belkin. Doug, the Wall Street Journal ranks over 1,000 colleges each year as part of its higher education reporting, and the analysis you write about in your piece tracked two decades of enrollment data. Can you explain what we're seeing in the numbers? Is it that the gap is growing between colleges that are prospering and those that are struggling to keep enrollment up?
Yeah, this gap is forming. It's been forming for about 5 or 6 years, and it seems to be breaking out along the lines of quality. For this analysis, we use the WSJ rankings as a proxy for quality. The rankings look at return on investment, so how much kids are earning when they graduate 10 years after they start college, how many of them are defaulting on their loan, how much money is being invested in into their education by the schools themselves. And when you look at this, what it turns out is that the schools that are ranked by the journal in the bottom fifth have begun to see an enrollment decline, while essentially the top 80% of the schools continue to grow as they have for decades now.
And what are some of the factors you found behind this trend? As you note, for a long time, enrollment rates had been on the rise. So what's happening here?
There's a lot of forces that are converging at the same time to create this gap. The number of people who've been going to college in the United States has been increasing as the population is increasing and as the rate of college going has increased since the 70s. As that has happened, pretty much every school in the country has experienced a surge in enrollment, and a high tide lifts all boats. That began to change around 2011 when two things happened. There was a demographic dip among the numbers of kids who are graduating high school, and that is going to get a lot worse over the years to come. And the perceived value of a four-year degree has begun to diminish, and so that has begun to impact whether or not kids go to school in the first place.
And obviously we're seeing cuts in funding to public colleges and student debt rates continue to rise. How are those factoring in?
College was considered a public good for a long time in this country. And as a result, for state schools, for public schools, taxpayers footed the bill for most of that education. That has shifted. Lawmakers have pulled money out of higher education in a lot of cases, and the burden has moved on to students. So tuition has gotten much higher. As a result, it's a much more risky proposition to go to college today than it was 20 or 30 years ago. And you were seeing that in two ways. The student debt numbers are climbing through the roof. It's about $1.4 trillion in student debt. And the numbers of folks who cannot pay that debt, who are defaulting on that debt, is rapidly increasing as well. So you've got kids who are dropping out of school at a pretty significant rate. And even kids who are finishing are oftentimes getting jobs that don't demand their college credential, so they're underemployed, and oftentimes they're not earning as much as they thought that they would. So these things have made a college degree less of a sure thing than it used to be, and that has given folks pause about whether or not they should be investing significant money in getting a degree and what kind of risk they want to take on.
Doug, you talked to some experts working in higher education who had some pretty dire predictions about what's to come. One compared what we're seeing now to what bookstores faced, the kind of reckoning they had when Amazon emerged.
So for a long time, a four-year college was sort of the only game in town. That was the credential you needed to enter the professional classes or to be considered a sort of a well-educated American. And that's shifting. It's unbundling. There's a lot of different things you can get now, a lot of different credentials you can get that signal to employers that you're smart, that you're ready to work. At the same time, the value of a four-year degree as a credential is diminished. Surveys of employers say that kids who are coming out of school frequently are not ready for the workforce, they're not prepared. So getting a four-year college degree is no longer the imprimatur that it once was. That means that employers are not putting the same heft on a degree that they did, and they're looking to hire folks who have the appropriate skills as opposed to the appropriate credentials.
I'm speaking with Doug Belkin about shifts in higher education, and you're listening to Your Money Matters from The Wall Street Journal. Welcome back. Doug, we're obviously seeing colleges and universities struggling across the country, but in some areas you found the difficulties are more pronounced. Where and why are those areas having a harder time?
So the places that are the most vulnerable right now are schools in the Midwest and in the Northeast, and this is simply because the population there is dropping much faster than it is in the Southwest or the South or the West. So it's also a place where there's a tremendous concentration of private schools. So private liberal arts schools, which are particularly vulnerable to this trend, are probably the most in danger in the Midwest and in the Northeast. And the three states that jumped out were Ohio, Pennsylvania, and New York.
And what else do experts that you spoke to expect that we are likely to see in higher education 5-10 years down the line?
So a lot of different trends are converging. There's been a gap between the higher education and the labor market for a long time. That gap is closing rapidly. So schools are doing a lot to try to prepare kids for the workforce as opposed to trying to educate them for what the academy considers to be a well-educated person. So universities are taking much more seriously their obligation or their responsibility to prepare kids with digital skills, with analytical skills. Majors are in much more pragmatic things like healthcare and business, and the humanities have taken a tremendous hit over the past few years. So that's one trend that's happening quickly. And then experiential learning is becoming more prominent. So you've heard about internships becoming as important as your GPA, and that's true. But also programs like what they're doing at Northeastern University, where there's co-ops and this sort of thing, are being adopted slowly by different schools around the country.
And you touched on this a little bit already, but how are these converging trends likely to affect prospective students? Are they seeking out alternatives to four-year colleges?
Yeah, so this is a particularly interesting situation. If you go to a four-year college and you're going to a significant debt and you're not necessarily going to get a good job on the other end, you begin to look for alternatives. And one of the places where these are coming from is Silicon Valley, where venture capitalists have invested billions of dollars over the past decade, and especially over the past 5 years, to try to figure out what they can teach high school graduates that they will be able to use in the workforce that will get them good jobs. And the most conspicuous example are these coding boot camps, which are popping up around the country. And there's, you know, thousands of graduates every year now, and these kids are often getting very good, high-paying jobs. And we're also seeing a push from the Obama administration and now the Trump administration to get more apprenticeship programs in line, and this could be an alternative to a college degree.
I've been speaking with Wall Street Journal reporter Doug Belkin. Thanks so much, Doug.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for listening to Your Money Matters. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York for The Wall Street Journal.